نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Lum'atul I'tiqad, the book of creed and belief compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with explanation of Shaykh Salih ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then we are on the section towards the end with regard to it being an innovation to ascribe oneself to anything other than Islam and the Sunnah, such as ascribing oneself to the deviant sects, the Jahmiyya, the Rafida, the Jahmiyya, the Khawarij, and the Qadariyya. So who can remember why the Rafida are so called? Sheikh Fawzan, in his explanation, he mentioned why the Rafida are called the Rafida. Who can remember? The brother mentioned, and the Rafida were so called because they rejected the grandson of Al-Husayn, who they were testing him out to see if he was suitable, if they felt he was suitable to be their leader, Zayd ibn Ali ibn Al-Husayn, ibn Ali, the grandson of Al-Husayn. They questioned him. Some people from the Shia, they questioned him. I said, what do you say about Abu Bakr and Umar? And they wanted him to curse them. But rather he said the opposite. He said words of praise for them, and they were the two advisors, two sincere friends of my grandfather, and so on. So when he praised them and refused to disassociate himself from them, then they said, Iran, therefore we do rafd of you, we reject you. So from then they were called the Rafida, the rejectors. What did Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he mentioned some of the sects of the Shia and how they take their, or where their names come from, and he mentioned the Ja'fariyya, the Ja'faris, that they say that they are followers of Ja'far as-Sadiq, rahimahullah. What did Shaykh Fawzan say about their claim that they are followers of Ja'far as-Sadiq? What did he say in that regard? As the brothers mentioned, Shaykh Fawzan mentioned that this is a lie, this is just a pure ascription with no reality behind it, that they call themselves Ja'faris, followers of Ja'far, when indeed they do not follow Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah, who was upon the Sunnah, which is from the early scholars upon the Sunnah, died in the year 148, and he was upon the Sunnah, and they are free of him and free of his way. So it's just a mere ascription, they just ascribe themselves to him, and they do not follow his way. And they fill their books, as the Sheikh said, you'll find most of their books filled with lies against him, where they say Abu Abdullah said, or Ja'far as-Sadiq said, and most of what is contained there is absolute lies upon him. Who can remember the innovations which Jahm ibn Safwan combined? What innovations did he combine? Who can give me one of his innovations? Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned he combined a number of innovations. Who can give me one of those innovations that Jahm was upon? The first and the famous one from him is the denial of Allah's names and attributes, which became famous as the position of the Jahmiyyah, named after him. That's the most famous, I think he's most famous, most infamous for denying the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. And denying or saying the innovative statement that the Quran is something created. two more. He held the belief of irja, that iman is just awareness in the heart. He held the belief of the murja, the belief of irja. And one left, one thing left.
The belief of al-jabr, that people are compelled to do actions and don't actually have a choice.
Now he held the belief of jabr, the belief that mankind are compelled upon their deeds. They don't have choice in their deeds. They are compelled to do whatever deeds they do. Who can remember that with regard to the deviant sect, the Khawarij, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned one of their first infamous acts in history, one of the first, not the only, not the very first. Who can remember the famous incident which they're famous for in history for doing, the Khawarij? They rebelled against the righteous and rightly guided Khalifa Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They rebelled against him. Who can remember what text did they misuse to declare Ali radiallahu anhu a kafir, an unbeliever? Of course, he was free radiallahu anhu, free and far removed from their allegation. But what text did they misuse to make this evil statement? It's important that we know, so that when it's used again in our times or in whatever time, that when it's misused in the same way, that we recognise that misuse of it. Who can remember the text which they misused? The ayah from Surah Al-An'am, in al-hukmu illa lillah, that judgment is only for Allah, they say. Judgment is only for Allah. And you have brought people to judge and to arbitrate with regard to Allah's religion, conveniently forgetting the fact it was their idea in the first place. They were the ones who insisted upon it and had to persuade Ali radiallahu anhu to stop the fighting, and insisted upon him agreeing to arbitration. And after he had done it, then Shaitan inspired them with the idea that this is against Allah's deen. This is when the judgment went against them, went against what they wanted. Then they came with this, that Ali radiallahu anhu, they declared him to be a kafir, that he has brought men to judging Allah's deen, and this is upon their statement, this is kufr, this is unbelief. Who can remember what happened to these original Khawarij? What happened to them? No. That they were slaughtered, that they were fought against by the army of Ali radiallahu anhu, and they were slaughtered at the Battle of Nahrawan. Killed at the Battle of Nahrawan. Or nearly all of them were killed at the Battle of Nahrawan. So was that the end of the Khawarij? Was that the end of the Khawarij in history, or not? No, indeed not. The Shaykh Fawzan mentioned their belief, their position still carries on, still continues. Who can remember what Shaykh Fawzan mentioned about the point we've had a number of times? What was the position of the Khawarij with regard to the people who are committed, those people who commit major sins from the Muslims, those Muslims who are guilty of major sins? What's the position of Khawarij about those people? And in the next life? No. The position of the Khawarij is that those Muslims who become guilty of major sin, they leave the fold of Islam, they become kafirs through those major sins. So they are treated as kafirs with the Khawarij in this life, and in the next life they will remain in the hellfire forever in the claim of the Khawarij. And who can remember the truth in that regard? What's the truth in that regard? The position of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah with regard to the people of the major sins, Muslims guilty of major sin. Yeah. that the, such a person guilty of major sin, a Muslim guilty of major sin, which is less than shirk, he is still a believer, but deficient in his iman. A believer deficient in his iman. Or a believer in accordance with his iman, but sinner in accordance with the level of his sin. And that in the hereafter he will be beneath the mashi'ah, the wish and will of Allah. If Allah the Most High wishes, he will forgive him. And if Allah the Most High wishes, he will punish him in the fire for some time, and then remove him from the fire and place him in Jannah. Who can remember the two opposite groups of the Qadariya? Or one of the two opposite groups of the Qadariya. Who can remember? Because in the text he mentioned Wal Qadariya and the Qadariya. And Shaykh Farzan made it clear that there are two groups of the Qadariya, each one of opposite extreme. Who can remember one of these two? Jabariya, yeah. No. On one extreme, the Jabariya. Those who go beyond limits in affirming pre-decree to such an extent that they say man has no free will. That man is compelled upon his deeds. That's one extreme. So those who go to extremes in affirming pre-decree to such an extent that they affirm to such an extent they say man has himself no free will at all. He is compelled to do his deeds. And they are the Jabariya. And the other extreme, opposite to them, the other extreme of the Qadariya,
they are
the Qadariya, who deny Qadar totally. Yeah, Al-Qadariya and Nufat. The Qadariya, the ones who are well known as the Qadariya, the Qadariya and Nufat, the deniers of Qadr. Those who deny the pre-decree, and say rather man creates his own deeds, man is free to do as he wishes, and so on. And denying Allah's irada over him. They say that he can escape, a man can escape from Allah's irada, from Allah's wish and will. Now, the position of the people of the Sunnah is, with regard to Qadr, the pre-decree. That everything is decreed by Allah the Most High. Acts of obedience to Allah, acts of disobedience, Islam, kufr, Iman and unbelief, all is decreed by Allah. However, that does not mean that man does not have free will, which is under the will of Allah. Man does have free will and has the ability to act, and man acts, and so on, to the end of the saying. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, and what occurs in this Egyptian print on page 287, and in the Saudi edition, page 280, the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he said, continuing with this list of deviant sects, which it is not correct to ascribe oneself to, wal murji'ah, and the murji'ah, the people of irja'ah, the murji'ah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, said in explanation, al-irja, so that is the term, that's the thing, al-irja, and one who has this is called a murji'i, and the sect, the murji'a. So Shaykh al-Fawzan explains what is this thing they have, al-irja. He explains linguistically what does irja mean. He said, huwa ta'khir, it means to defer, or to put something back. Put something to the back, to defer it, to put it off, to postpone it, something like that, at ta'khir. You say in the Arabic language, arja'tu shay'a, with the meaning of akhartahu. In the Arabic language, you say about something, I did irja' of that thing, to mean that you deferred it, or postponed it, you put it back. And he gives an evidence from the Quran for this linguistic meaning. He said, And when Fir'aun, when the Pharaoh, consulted the eminent ones from his people about Musa and his people, قَالُوا أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَاهُ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 111. When Fir'aun asked his eminent people, what should we do about Musa and his people? But they said this, what they responded to him, قَالُوا أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَاهُ I said, put him and his brother off. أَرْجِهْ That's the word here, أَرْجِهْ from the same root of إِرْجَاءَ Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, delay his affair until you wait and bring the sorcerers. And when Musa alayhi salam came with the clear signs to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun asked his advisor, what shall I do about him? I said, put him off. As Shaykh said, I mean, put him off. Delay him in. Put him off. Put his affair off until you wait and you bring the sorcerers. And make them challenge him in front of the people. The Shaykh said, because of an affair, I mean this happened, because of an affair which Allah, the Perfect and Most High, wanted to occur. They thought, I mean Fir'aun and his people, what they thought in doing so, they would give him... They'll put him off, delay him, bring the sorcerers. What they thought in doing so, they thought that they would overcome Musa. They thought that they would overcome Musa. When they brought the sorcerers whom they had, and that he was a sorcerer, and that Musa was a sorcerer, that's what they thought. So they would overcome him. That's what they intended, and that's what they thought would happen. They thought Musa is just a sorcerer. We bring our sorcerers, they'll overcome him in front of the people. But Allah turned this around. He wanted to make clear and apparent the fact that Musa had come from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And that what he had with him was a miracle from Allah, the Perfect and Most High, which could not be met with sorcery, could not be faced and opposed with sihr, with magic sorcery. And therefore, in the great gathering, the falsity of the sorcery, the magic, became apparent. And the sorcerers repented, and they fell down in prostration to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, because they recognized that what Musa had with him was true. And the opposite of what Fir'aun and his people wanted, they wanted to show him up in front of the people and to show that he was just sorcery and his sorcery would be beaten. The opposite happened. The sorcerers who were brought to do that, they themselves recognized the truth and they fell down in prostration to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, as the Shaykh said, because they recognized that what was with Musa was true. Because they were specialists in that field, and they were people of experience, and they had knowledge and awareness of sorcery, sihr, sorcery, magic. They recognized that what Musa had was not something brought about by a human, but rather it was a miracle from Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and a sign of his truthfulness. So therefore they believed in him. So the witness from the ayah is his saying, أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَاهُ Saying of Allah the Most High, the same ayah that was mentioned before, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 111, that the people of Fir'aun, when they were the advisors, when they were asked what to do, they advised him and said, leave him, أَرْجِهْ Put him off, and his brother, وَأَخَاهُ The same word, إِرْجَاءَ The Shaykh said, meaning delay him until the challenge occurs. And they wanted to refute what he had in front of the people. This is al-irja. I mean, in the Arabic language, this is what irja means, to put something off, to to delay it, to postpone it, and so on. Then the Shaykh mentions what is meant here, though, in the text of the like of the books of Aqidah, when it's mentioned Irja and the Murji'ah, the people of Irja, what does it mean? He said, and what is meant by Irja here is putting actions outside Iman, like delaying or postponing or putting actions out from Iman, taking them out from Iman and putting them back. So what is meant by irja here is putting actions outside Iman. They say, I mean the Murji'ah, they say that actions do not enter into Iman. So they put off actions, or they put actions outside the reality of Iman, and outside what is called Iman. So they make actions one thing, and Iman something else. They are the Murji'ah. And they say actions are not from Iman. Actions are one thing, Iman is something else. That, as the Shaykh said, they are the Murji'ah. And they are four sects. So there are four sects of the Murji'ah. And then he lists them and describes each one of the four sects of the Murji'ah. He said, the first sect are the Jahmiyya. And each one of these sects, as we'll see, they differ in their definition of what Iman is. They all agree that actions are outside Iman. But then they differ about what Iman itself, what is Iman then? So he mentions the first sect of the Murji'ah. The first sect is the Jahmiyya. Those who hold that Iman is merely al-ma'rifah. Iman is merely awareness in the heart. Even if the person does not do any action, and even if he does not hold the belief, and even if he does not attest to it, even if he doesn't affirm it with his heart, and even if he does not say anything, then still he is a mu'min, he is a believer. As long as he has awareness in his heart, I mean, awareness that he has Allah is the Lord, as long as he's got that, then he is a believer. Shaykh said, so upon this basis, Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, would be a believer, would be a mu'min. I mean, if the saying of the Jahmiyya about Iman were correct, it's just awareness in the heart. If that saying were correct, Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, would be a believer, a mu'min. Because he had awareness that what Musa came with was true. However, he made an outward display of denying it from his haughtiness and his pride. And Allah's refuge is sought. Amen. And that's what in his heart, he knew that what Musa came with was the truth from his Lord. But he denied it, rahmatullah. He denied it openly. Why? Because of his haughtiness and his pride. Sheikh of Hosan gives the evidence. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Surah An-Naml, the 27th surah, ayah 14, with the explanation, and they, the people of Fir'aun, they denied the signs, I mean the signs which Musa came with. They denied the signs, but in their hearts they had certainty of them. Doing so wrongfully and from haughtiness. So look and see what was the outcome of the evildoers. What was the outcome for the evildoers? So Sheikh is indicating with his ayah that the people of Fir'aun, or the Fir'aun himself and his people, they knew the truth of what Musa came with in their hearts, but they denied it outwardly. The Sheikh said, so upon the view of Jahannam and the Jabariyya, Fir'aun would have been a believer. Fir'aun will be a believer, a mu'min. because he had awareness in the heart. He had awareness that was the truth that Musa came with. That it's the truth and it came from Allah. He had that awareness in his heart. So on their saying, the Jabariyyah, the Jahmiyyah and Jabariyyah, Fir'aun would therefore be a believer. We'd have to judge him to be a believer, a mu'min. Then he gives us a second, another example. He said, and Iblis would be a believer, a mu'min, with those people. Because he had awareness. Indeed, he clearly stated and spoke. I mean, Iblis, Shaitan, he had awareness of Allah. Not only that, he spoke with it upon his tongue. He affirmed it and spoke with it. He said, the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 39. The ayah where it's mentioned what Iblis said to his Lord, to Allah the Most High. And he said, O my Lord, because you have misguided me, because you have misguided me. So Iblis said, addressing Allah the Most High, O my Lord, O my Rabb, because you have misguided me. And the ayah continues. And the Shaykh mentioned the second evidence. He said, and he said, Fabi izzatika. Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah, ayah 82. With the explanation that again, Iblis, he swore an oath to Allah the Most High. So by your might, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he affirmed might for Allah, and he swore an oath by it. So therefore Iblis would be a believer in the view of those people, upon the view of those people, because he had awareness. He had awareness of Allah. He addressed Allah, and he called Allah my Lord, and he affirmed his might, and swore an oath by it. That all those things he did. So in other words, he had awareness of Allah. So upon their saying, he would be a believer. If this saying of the Jahmiyyah and the Jabariyyah were correct about Iman, Fir'aun would be a believer, and Iblis would be a believer. Then the Shaykh said, and there would not be a kafir, there would not be an unbeliever upon the face of the earth, according to this way. So this is a false and futile position. I mean, everybody in their hearts, in their heart of hearts, has some awareness of their Lord. So if this saying were correct, then there wouldn't be a kafir on the face of the earth. Everybody would be believers. The Shaykh said, and this is the worst form of irja. This first form of irja, the irja of Jahmiyyah, is the worst form of irja. Then he moves on to the second. He said the second sect of the murji'ah. He said the second sect are those who hold that iman is mujarrad tasdiq bil qalb. Those who hold that iman is merely affirmation in the heart. They say awareness is not sufficient. There must be affirmation in the heart. So they add to the saying of the previous sect, the Jahmiyyah, that's not enough. That's not enough for Iman. You have to have this awareness, but you have to have on top of that affirmation of the heart, in the heart. The Shaykh said, even if the person does not express it upon his tongue, and even if he does not act with his limbs, as long as he believes in Allah in his heart, as long as he believes in Allah and in his messenger and in his religion in his heart, then he is a mu'min, a believer, kamilul iman, perfect and complete in his iman. And this is the saying of the Ash'ariyah. This is the saying of the Ash'aris. This is the definition of the Ash'aris for Iman. And whoever agrees with them from the scholars of Al-Kalam, rhetorical theology. So Iman, in their view, is مجرد تصديق بالقلب. Iman, in their view, is merely affirmation in the heart. Even if a person refuses to say it upon his tongue, he doesn't say it upon his tongue, he doesn't act in accordance with it, they say he's a perfect believer still, as long as he's got affirmation in his heart. of Allah, of His Prophet, and of His Deen. Then the Shaykh mentioned the third sect of the Murji'ah. He said, the third sect are those who say that Iman, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ مُجَرَّدُ الْقَوْلِ, that Iman is merely the saying. I mean, a person expresses the truth upon his tongue only. That Iman is mere saying. Even if he does not believe it with his heart, rather, if he expresses it with his tongue, then he is a believer, a mu'min, even if he doesn't believe it with his heart. And this is the saying of the Karramiyya and the followers of Muhammad ibn Karram, who will, a mention of whom will follow. In the Karramiyya, mentioned by the author further on. And just a brief side point, then some of the people of knowledge mentioned in refutation of this group, that this saying would necessitate that the munafiqeen are believers, perfect in Iman. Because the munafiqeen, as we know by text of the Book of Allah the Most High, the munafiqeen say with their tongues that we believe, but in their hearts they do not believe. So according to this saying of the Karramiyya, the munafiqeen who express Iman upon their tongue but don't believe it in their hearts, don't have belief in their hearts, they would be perfect believers. So then back to what the Shaykh brings, he mentions the fourth sect. He said, the fourth sect of the Murji'ah are those who say, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ هُوَ التَّصْدِيقُ بِالْقَلْبِ وَالنُّطْقُ بِاللِّسَانِ أَمَّا الْعَمَلُ بِالْجَوَارِحِ فَهَذَا لَيْسَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ شَرْطٌ لِلْإِيمَانِ أَوْ مُكَمِّلٌ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَلَيْسَ هُوَ مِنْ حَقِيقَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. Shaykh said, what these ones say, the Murji'ah, the fourth sect of the Murji'ah, is they say that Iman is just belief in the heart and speech upon the tongue. As for actions upon the limbs, then this is not from Iman. Rather, it is something which is a condition for Iman, meaning outside things, outside Iman, an outside condition for Iman. Or it is something which completes Iman. And it is not from the reality of Iman. And those people are called Murji'atul Fuqaha, the Murji'ah from the jurists, the Murji'ah from the people of Fiqh. And the Shaykh explains why they have this term. He said, because this was held by most of the Hanafis. This was held by most of the Hanafiyya. This was their madhab, this was their position, that Iman is just saying of the tongue and belief of the heart. And as for actions, then they do not enter into the reality of Iman. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, summarizes and he says, so therefore we find that the Murji'ah, with all their four sects, all of them take actions out from what is called Iman. And they have the view that Iman is one single thing which does not increase and does not decrease. And that the Iman of Jibreel is just the same as the Iman of the most sinful person from the Muslims. لا يزيد بالإيمان. And this word Iman occurs here, and it looks like a pretty obvious mistake. It seems it should be لا يزيد بالأعمال ولا ينقص عندهم. That it does not increase through actions, and it does not decrease in their view. I mean, this is all from the view of the Murji'ah. All these sayings follow on from their saying. The Iman, actions are outside Iman, so therefore, because of that saying of theirs, they end up with all these sayings as well. As the Shaykh listed them, he said, that Iman is therefore, in their view, one single thing which does not increase and decrease. And that also, the Iman of Jibreel is just the same as the Iman as the most sinful person from amongst the Muslims. It does not increase through deeds, nor does it decrease in their view. Indeed, some of them said, indeed, some of them say, لا يضر مع الإيمان معصية كما لا ينفع مع الكفر طاعة. Some of them even say, when a person has Iman, then no sin will harm him. Just as when a person is an unbeliever, no act of obedience will be a benefit. This is one of their false principles that actually some of them actually state. They say, look, an unbeliever, a kafir, if he doesn't act to obedience to Allah, will it benefit him? And so, no, because he's an unbeliever. I say, well, likewise, a person who is a believer, no sin, if he has Iman, no sin, no matter what sin he does, it will not affect him, it will not harm his Iman. So this is a false, as the Shaykh said, one of their false principles. Then he mentioned, this is from the details of their false and futile doctrine. Then he gives the true position. As for the people, as for the Ahl of Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as for the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, then they say, الإيمان قول باللسان واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل الجوارح يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية فليس إيمان الناس على حد سواء بعضهم أكمل إيمانا من بعض وبعضهم أنقص. The people of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah say, Iman is speech upon the tongue, and belief in the heart, and action of the limbs. It increases through obedience, and decreases through sin. So the Iman of the people is not upon one and the same level. Some of them are more complete in Iman than others, and some of them are more deficient. This is the true saying, which combines the evidences from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan's explanation on that point ends. And then the author, Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he mentions another sect, rahimahullah, wal-Mu'tazila, and the Mu'tazila. Shaykh al-Fawzan explains who they are and says, the Mu'tazila, they are the people who ascribe themselves to Wasil ibn Atta', who is their sheikh and their leader. And he explains who this person was, who was Wasil ibn Atta'. He said, he used to be in the gathering of Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, the Imam of the Tabi'een, of the famous Imam of the city of Basra, from the Tabi'een, Al-Hasan al-Basri. This person, Wasil ibn Atta, used to be in his gathering, to sit and learn, sit amongst his students. So Al-Hasan was asked a question about the person who commits a major sin. And he said, هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ نَاقِصُ الْإِيمَانِ. Somebody asked Al-Hasan al-Basri, what do you say about a person, a Muslim who commits major sin? So he said, he is a believer who is deficient in his Iman. So therefore, Wasil ibn Atta said, أَنَا لَا أَقُولُ هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ وَلَا أَقُولُ كَافِرٌ أَقُولُ هُوَ بِمَنْزِلَةٍ بَيْنَ مَنْزِلَتَيْنِ إِمَّاتَ وَلَمْ يَتُبْ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُخَلَّدٌ فِي النَّارِ. So then, instead of sufficing with the answer of the great Imam Al-Hasan al-Basri, Wasil ibn Atta had to put his oar in there and give his own saying. He said, I say, or rather he said, I do not say, he is a believer, a Muslim who commits a major sin. He said, I do not say he is a mu'min, a believer. And I do not say he is a kafir, an unbeliever. I say he is in a position between the two positions. If he dies and he does not repent, then he is a kafir. He is an unbeliever who will remain forever in the fire. That's what he said. He came along and said that. And he i'tazala, he did i'tizal, he withdrew and kept away from the gathering of Al-Hasan. And that's why they, as the Shaykh said, and a group of followers joined him. So they were called the Mu'tazila from that time. I mean, those who withdrew themselves, those who kept away. I mean, they kept away from the gathering of the Imam, Al-Hasan al-Basri, kept themselves. So they were called the Mu'tazila from that time. And their madhab, their doctrine, is close to the doctrine of the Khawarij with regard to Iman. They say, I mean, the Mu'tazila say that the person who commits major sin has departed from Iman. However, he has not entered into kufr, into unbelief. Rather, he will be in a manzila, bayn al-manzilatayn. He will be in a position between the two. Like the lift is stuck between two floors, is neither this nor that. So he's in a position between the two positions, not kafir and not Muslim. The Shaykh said, if he dies and he does not repent, then he will be a kafir in that case. Just the same as is said by the Khawarij, and that he will remain in the fire. This is the position of the Mu'tazila. I mean, the Mu'tazila, as we've had before, the Mu'tazila, with regard to what is the case in this world, they differ with the Khawarij. The Khawarij say, no, he's a kafir. A Muslim who commits major sin is a kafir. Whereas the Mu'tazila say, no, he's left Islam, but he's not entered into kufr. He's neither a believer, nor is he a kafir. But if he dies, then the two of them agree. The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila agree. If he dies upon it, then he's a kafir in the hellfire forever. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and their position in the Mu'tazila, with regard to the sifat, with regard to the attributes of Allah the Most High, is also to deny the attributes. And they do ta'wil of them, they interpret them away. To the rest of their false views, they are the Mu'tazila. As we have before, they have these five famous principles, which they are the five famous principles of the Mu'tazila. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, wal karramiyya, and also the karramiyya. Shaykh Fawzan explains who this deviant sect is. He said, the karramiyya are the followers of Muhammad ibn Karram, and he went beyond the limits in affirming the attributes to the extent of tashbih and tajseem. He went to the extent of declaring resemblance between the creator and the creation, and declaring Allah to be like the creation. I mean, he did the opposite of the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiyyah, denying attributes. He did the opposite. He affirmed the attributes, but he went beyond the limit to such an extent that he declared likeness between the creator and the creation. As a side point here, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentioned about the Karramiyya in his explanation. He said they are the followers of Muhammad ibn Karram, who died in the year 255. He inclined towards tashbih, declaring resemblance between the creator and the creation. And the saying of irja, he held the saying of irja. And they are men, the Karramiyya, are many different sects. So, many different sects within them. Then the author mentioned, Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, wal-kullabiyya, and the kullabiyya. This next deviant sect he mentions, and the kullabiyya. Shaykh al-Fawzan explains who these people are. He said, al-kullabiyya are the followers of Abdullah ibn Sa'id ibn Kullab. And this is what most of the Ash'a'ira, this is what most of the Ash'aris are upon. Or all of the Ash'aris today. Indicating the fact, if you bump into someone mostly who calls himself Ash'ari in belief, what they're actually upon is not, of course, the belief of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah. They're actually upon the belief of the Kullabiyya. Somebody says, I am Ash'ari. What's your belief? I am Ash'ari. Usually there will be Kullabiyya in their belief. They'll have the beliefs of Abdullah ibn Sa'id ibn Kullab. As the Shaykh said, this is what most of the Ash'aris are upon today. what is what most of the Ash'aris upon, or today, or all of the Ash'aris today, upon this belief. And they call it the Ash'ari belief, but it's the belief of Ibn Kullab. Then he explains something from that and says, they deny most of the attribute. They deny most of the sifat. They deny most of the attributes of Allah. And they do not affirm except the 7 attributes. Or the 14 attributes, as they say. Because they say the intellect proves these. I mean, the Kullabiyya, who call themselves the Ash'aris, they say we affirm 7 attributes for Allah because we have to affirm these 7, because the intellect affirms these 7 for a creator. I mean, if there is a creator, he must have, according to the intellect, he must have these 7 attributes. And they mentioned that life, knowledge, ability, and so on to the end of their 7. They say the intellect affirms these 7, so we have to affirm them. Or some of them say there are 14 which we have to affirm. As they say, the Shaykh said, as they say, because the intellect proves them, and the rest are not proven. I mean, the rest of Allah's attributes that are contained in the book and the Sunnah, they say, are not proven by the aql, not proven by the intellect. Rather, they are indicated by text alone. This is the position of the Kullabiyya. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah finishes this particular section by saying, وَنَظَرَائِهِمْ فَهَذِهِ فِرَقُ الضَّلَالِ وَطَوَائِفُ الْبِدَعِ أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا. Amen. He said, and their like. He mentioned this list of sects. Not correct to ascribe oneself to anything but the book and the sunnah. And it's not correct to ascribe oneself to the like of the deviant sects such as, and he mentions this whole list, and then he finishes the section by saying, and their like. So these are the sects of misguidance, and the groups of the people of innovations. May Allah save us from them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, and the like of these sects, since he was just bringing examples only. Otherwise, the sects are many. The firq, the sects, are many. And sects appear and splinter. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى ثَلَاثٍ, it should be ثَلَاثٍ, عَلَى ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً. Just as the Prophet ﷺ said, and this nation will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith is reported by Ahmad with the like of it in the Musnad. You can find it there, volume 4, page 102 of the old edition. And reported by Abu Dawood, hadith number 4597. From a hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and it is a hadith whose chain of narration is Hassan. As a side point, and Shaykh al-Albani agreed with that, he declared the hadith to be Hassan. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished by saying, the scholars said, in explanation of this hadith, they said, these are the usul al-firq. These are the basic sects, there's 73 here, but they are the basic sects. However, their branches and offshoots are more than 73. However, these are their roots. The roots of all the sects are these 73, and then offshoots spring away from that. So in all, the sects within this nation, within this ummah, are more than 73. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. That's where we'll end this section. Till next time, inshallah. And the remaining section is a long section, so it might happen that next time it's a longer lesson than usual, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Thank you for liking that talk. Oh,